Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. The United Nations Human Rights Council has voted to continue its investigation into the war in Yemen, despite a lot of pressure by the Saudi regime not to do so. Now, during 3.5 years of a Saudi onslaught against Yemen, more than 15,000 people have been killed, most of them civilians. Now, most of the Yemeni population is suffering from malnutrition and diseases rampant as the infrastructure has been bombed to shambles. Will Riyadh be held responsible for committing war crimes in Yemen or not? Stay with us as we take a look at this on this debate.
Saudi Arabia and its allies are fuming with anger over a new resolution at the UN Human Rights Council. On Friday, the rights body voted to extend an ongoing probe into possible war crimes in the Yemen conflict.
21 in favor, 8 against, and 18 abstentions. The draft proposal L21 is therefore adopted.
Those who voted for the resolution say the experts need to continue their work to make sure the suffering of the Yemeni people does not get worse.
The extension of the mandate of the group must be our top priority. The humanitarian disaster in Yemen continues unabated, and the Yemen people continue to suffer. And the investigation by the group, therefore, remains an imperative.
Human rights organizations hailed the vote at the UN rights body.
States at the UN Human Rights Council stood firm today in the face of shameful efforts by the Saudi-led coalition to quash a UN expert inquiry.
The Saudi envoy to the UN Human Rights Council, whose country is leading a coalition against Yemen, rejected the report based on which the vote was adopted, describing it as biased.
We clearly detailed our position and we stressed the lack of balance and the deficiencies this report contains.
Riyadh's allies also spoke out.
If a draft resolution L21 is adopted as it is, it will do more harm than good for Yemen.
The objection by the Saudi coalition members follows an August vote by the UN Rights Council, which slammed Riyadh and its allies. Back then, the UN investigators blamed the coalition's airstrikes for causing much of the civilian casualties in the Yemen war. The report noted that the air raids hit residential areas, markets, funerals, weddings, detention centers, civilian boats, and even medical facilities. Saudi Arabia's onslaught has been going on since March 2015. Nearly 15,000 people have lost their lives in the conflict so far. The offensive has triggered what the UN has branded as the world's worst humanitarian crisis at the time being. Riyadh began the war saying it aimed to reinstate the former government of Yemen. The goal has not been achieved so far, but the country has been left in ruins.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Tehran, journalist and political commentator, Mr. Mostafa Khoshash, and out of London, journalist and political commentator, Zed Mohsen Abbas. Thank you both for being with us. Let's start this off in London, and Zed Mohsen, are you surprised that the United Nations Human Rights Council has extended its investigation to possible war crimes taking place in the Saudi onslaught against Yemen?
No, not at all. I mean, I think it was very much expected. The noises that were being made by all the neutral human rights organizations, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, and dozens of others was all pushing for this. And the UN itself, in its report, has been absolutely damning. You know, it's been unequivocally pointing the finger at the Saudi, largely their airstrikes. You know, 16,000 airstrikes, of 16,000 recorded airstrikes within one report, 30% of them hit civilian areas, and that too with US-made cluster bombs, which basically don't discriminate between anybody on the ground. So quite clearly the UN would have been left with no option but with this kind of, you know, flagrant abuse of human rights and the abuse of any rules of war. It's absolutely the right decision. But again, the shameful Saudis and the US and the British, all of whom are complicit within this murder of innocent Yemeni civilians, have been there launching a huge campaign. They invested a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort to try and persuade the UN to go the other way. But the vote went unanimously in favor of extending this investigation.
Right. Well, Said Mustafa, we see around 15,000 people now have been killed in just over 3 years of the Saudi attack on Yemen, many of them civilians. Why does it take the UN so long to investigate if there are war crimes taking place when people are continually dying and even we see them starving to death also?
Hello, and good to be on Press TV.
Good to have you.
Well, as a matter of fact, the point is that the UN is not working properly. You know, at a time when the Saudis, as you remember, they were mentioned in the second report on child abuse and violation of children's rights given out by the United Nations, no action has been taken against them. In the first case, when they were mentioned in the report some 2 years ago, we remember that the then Secretary General of the UN, Ban Ki-moon, took their name off the blacklist, and he stepped forward to explain that if they did so, then some of the funding of the UN agencies would be cut off by the Saudis and their allies, especially the Arab nations. Well, this means that the UN is not working properly. Otherwise, they should have already taken severe punishment against Saudi Arabia and its sponsors and backers, mm-hmm. Especially the United States and the UK, that have been arming the regime with cluster bombs, banned munitions, in order to bomb weddings and funerals and civilian population. But in the meantime, I would like to also mention that there are other reports that you just mentioned the numbers, the death toll at 15,000, but there are other reports by international bodies that have put the number at over 18,000 people, mostly women and children. And no action we witness to be taken by the international bodies against Saudi Arabia and against the UAE, their coalition members, as well as the US and the UK, and others that are helping them. As long as the situation is the same, we might not be hopeful to see a change in the current conditions and in the death of civilians.
Right. What's that most of our guests in Tehran mentioned about the funerals? We've seen funerals, weddings, family gatherings, and, of course, even school buses targeted by the coalition. And in addition to that, there's also a siege that is on the country with very little basic supplies getting in the country, causing slow suffering by the people with little food and little medicines. So how could this be classified as anything else but war crimes?
Well, the hypocrisy of the United Nations is there for all to see. On the one hand, they say that this is the worst humanitarian disaster at the present on this planet. It's quite frankly probably the worst disaster potentially that we've seen over the last 50 to 100 years potentially, because every time you pick up a statistic about Yemen in terms of the human rights violations or the conditions of the individuals, no figure is quoted less than in the millions. So if we talk about the famine that's resulted, it's in the millions. It's 8 million people, you know, who are at stake. If you talk about people who need aid and who need protection, you're talking £22 million, three quarters of the population. If you're talking about hospitals in the country, you're talking about 8 to 10 million people who don't even have access, if not more, because 50% of the hospitals have been bombed to smithereens by the Saudi coalition. So, to be honest with you, the UN suffers from a huge degree of hypocrisy here. If this disaster is, as they say, the worst ever, they're not demonstrating that kind of urgency, either within their infrastructure, their systems, their mechanisms, to warrant that kind of statement. Anywhere else, they would be doing far more. Mm-hmm. We have to ask the question, is the United Nations really fit for purpose anymore? The truth is, it's failed in every Middle East crisis or conflict that we've seen, the US particularly sponsoring mm-hmm. Syria,
well, I mean,
Afghanistan,
also, said
Libya,
Mosin, sorry to interrupt you, we look at even others, stay with me, we look at even other areas too, whether we're talking about Srebrenica or Rwanda or Palestine, and we've seen people being systematically killed, said Mustafa, why the UN verbally condemns but in reality is impotent. So what needs to be done? Is the answer a revamping of the UN in this, or what do you think needs to be done in order for the United Nations or another entity to be effective in actually bringing peace to a country by putting leverage on the entity who's causing the problem?
Well, you know, the United Nations needs a restructuring, both at its various international bodies as well as the UN Security Council. You know, at a time when the Saudis are sitting as the chair or one of the main or influential parties in the UN Human Rights Council of the United Nations, where they are to verify which complaints should go under further studies, which should not. And then whenever the Yemenis file a complaint against the Saudis, the complaint goes into their hands and they disqualify it. So as long as the situation goes on and on like this, we may not pin any hope on the United Nations. It resembles the kind of situation that we have with regard to Israel. Israel sits as an influential member of the terrorism council that decides many of the cases that are being referred to the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And it's completely clear that whenever they are accused of conducting terrorism or as a state sponsoring terrorism, they veto that and they put it aside.
Okay.
So we need to actually restructure the kind of the international bodies all affiliated
all
to
right.
the UN, including the Human
Stay with me, said Mustafa. Stay with me, said Mohsen. What is really at stake in Yemen? Because we see so many civilians that have been killed during this time, over the 3 years that this has started. And so many of them civilians, and we have seen that it appears that the Saudis are on purpose targeting non-military targets, residential areas, civilian areas. Why does it appear that there is such, what can we say, perhaps hatred, that the way that the Saudis are dealing with this onslaught on its Arab neighbor?
Well, I think there's a fundamental moral bankruptcy within the Saudi regime as a whole, which has been demonstrated across the Muslim world in particular. They've virtually licensed takfirism and kind of a violent misinterpretation of Islam. They rolled it out through madrasas from Indonesia to the U.S. The truth is that the U.S. and the guys are also in the West are often, more often than not, complicit in this. So there is an encouragement for them to be completely morally ambivalent. So actually, in the heart of it lies a disease within both the religious entities of Wahhabism and also the secular family of the Sauds, who hypocritically run a religious, if you like, despotism. So on the one hand, there's that. But you see, geopolitically, there's other things that are going on, which often aren't brought to the surface. And I'm going to pick on something that, you know, I've rarely talked about myself when I talk about Yemen, but there is a clear indication that in 2007, various Arab, entities, including Oman, including Saudi Arabia, the UAE, were looking for an option to get oil out of the Middle East without having to go through the Strait of Hormuz, which was obviously a strong influence of Iranian, oversight. Now, what they tried to do was form a methodology to get the oil pipeline out in other means. Now, one of those areas which never gets talked about is that the remaining oil that Yemen has is an area called Hadhramaut, an eastern province. Now, Hadhramaut hasn't been bombed by any of the Saudi air raids so far, interestingly enough, because the oil exists there. They had a pipeline plan. The Saudis want a pipeline going via Hadhramaut to a port in Aden, in order to get their oil out another way. And that's at the instigation of the US and the British and those people who want that oil. So they were looking for this security. So this is one of the major reasons that actually the Saudis are so unforgiving. They will do anything. It doesn't matter what it takes. They're under orders from the US, who are also in the control and operations militarily within their within this operation. They're under orders to carry out and do whatever is necessary, even if it means destroying Yemen, to get their hands back on it.
Well, Said Mustafa, I mean, we're looking at talking about this investigation into Yemen, and of course there are allegations against the Saudi regime, but we don't see a lot being said about those who are actually arming the Saudis also. When we look at the UK or we look at the US and the lack of responsibility in the middle of all this carnage. Now, let's look at that side of things. What will it take for them to be actually held responsible for providing the weapons, the airplanes, the arms, the missiles, the bombs for the Saudis and the Emiratis and their coalition to do what they're doing?
Well, to be honest with you, in our contemporary world, money talks. And we all saw some kind of diplomatic row between Germany and Saudi Arabia. But as soon as they warned that they would drop all their ties with Germany, especially economic ties, the Germans changed their attitude. The same is true with regard to Canada and a number of other states. The UK was also to stop arming the Saudis, but they changed the approach, and they continue doing so because the Saudis seem to be buying others with their petrodollars. But one would think, what would happen once they run out of money? The point that I would like to also add is that despite all the sophisticated arms and technologies that they've been provided with, they cannot stand thousands of empty-handed, barefoot fighters that are armed with nothing better than AK-47s, Kalashnikov rifles, and they have failed to score a goal. And it seems that after now more it's now 3 years into this war, and they have failed to score the goals and make their objectives, it seems that they won't be able to gain anything in future. So I believe the Saudis now are thinking of buying some kind of reputation and finding a reputable way out of this mess. In the meantime, we should all remember what Donald Trump said when he was in Riyadh last year to sell hundreds of billions of dollars of arms. And he repeated that at the UN General Assembly in his speech just a few days ago. He said, we are not for imposing our lifestyle anymore. And in Riyadh, he made it complete and said, what matters is our economic ties and our business. This means that it's not related to us. If you trample upon human rights, it doesn't matter if you're a dictatorial government or state. What matters is that you pay us, you're free to do anything, and you have our protection.
And on that note, I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but I have to. We're run out of time. Appreciate you being with us, Mustafa Khoshchess, journalist and political commentator out of Tehran, and Said Mohsen Abbas, journalist and political commentator out of London. And viewers, again, we appreciate you being with us on Another Debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. See you next time right here. Same time, same place. Goodbye.